Today is the last day of the conference, and we want to still continue in the matter of the holy priesthood. I think we all by now should have a very strong impression, realization, consciousness, we hope, that in everything that we do, it must be holy. Because our God is holy. And I believe we all should even have the realization that it touches the very core of our being. Because we just, by nature, are not holy. And it's good because this is what the burden is. And this is our need today. To realize and to see that God is holy. And everything that we do, that we touch, must be holy. And so if this is the case, then definitely the priesthood also must be holy. And this morning we wanted to touch this matter concerning the consecration of Aaron and his sons. And for this, let's turn to Leviticus chapter 11, and we'll read verse 44 together. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44. Okay, Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44. Let's read this together. For I am the Lord your God, you shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Amen. Right? I am the Lord your God, and you shall therefore consecrate yourselves, for you shall be holy. You know, this word concerning consecration, I don't know what your realization or your understanding of consecration is. But I know for me, when I was in high school, growing up, when you hear the word consecration, it's the matter of giving ourselves or dedicating our lives for the Lord. And I always remember, it would usually be the last evening of the conference. And all the serving ones want to have the young people to be stirred up to consecrate themselves to the Lord, to give themselves to the Lord. And I remember that when I was in high school, there was much encouragement, there was a lot of inspiration, and everyone is really pouring out their hearts to say, Lord, we consecrate ourselves to you. But after that, for the days and weeks after that, I always kind of wondered, okay, so we give ourselves to you, then why is it that after a few weeks, after such a prayer, everyone just kind of goes back to what they are doing? And their lives are not so consecrated, not so given to the Lord. And so because of that, I didn't like to use the word consecration when I was young. Because it didn't mean so much to me. I know that I should dedicate myself to the Lord, but it just didn't, there was something missing. And I didn't realize what was missing until we got into the matter of the true worship with the offerings. And when we got into the matter of the offerings, and then we come back to consecration, the Lord just opened my eyes and said, there is so much more regarding consecration. Consecration cannot only be saying, Lord, we give ourselves to you. But it should mean much more. Because consecration is also the matter of sanctification. And it's a process. And I appreciate, and I very much enjoy the picture, the description of the process of consecration. So we can turn to Exodus chapter 29. If you spend time in Exodus 29, you will see the process of consecration. It's not just that we say we dedicate our lives to the Lord. There's much more entailed to consecration. I'm not going to go through all the verses here. We encourage you all, spend time to read through this chapter, not only in Exodus 29, but also in Leviticus chapter 8. Because in both of these chapters, you have the details regarding the matter of consecration. And if we begin in verse 1, it says, "And this is what you shall do to them to hallow them for ministering to me as priests. Take one young bull and two rams without blemish, and unleavened bread, unleavened cakes mixed with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil. You shall make them of wheat and flour. And you shall put them in one basket and bring them in the basket and the bull and the two rams." So this is what you need. You need to begin with this. You need to have all of the necessary items to begin this process of consecration. It's not as simple, right? A lot of times we want to go to the Lord, we want to minister to the Lord. We haven't taken the time out to be consecrated, and we just rush in there, as what was spoken earlier. But you can see here, it's much more than that. And then it goes on, verse 4, it says, "And Aaron and his sons you shall bring to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and you shall wash them with water." Amen. So the first matter in consecration is that we need to be washed in water. Right? Today, how often do we all shower? Most of us usually shower once a day. Why do we shower once a day? Because we get dirty. We get filthy, right? As we go through our daily life, there's things that we pick up onto our body, and it's filthy. It's dirty. So it needs to be washed. Well, spiritually speaking, we also need to be washed. We already know in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, it says that he might sanctify her and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. It's important that we spend time with the Lord in the word, because it is the word that washes us. The word that cleanses our minds especially. Because we pick up so much defilement from this world today. But it's not only the word, but we also need the spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, it says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed." Amen. "But you were sanctified." Amen. "But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and Amen. By the Spirit of our God." Amen. Right? All of these items that were written here, we may not do these. I hope we're not doing any of this in our daily life. But you know, we are still exposed to it. The media that we are in today, we're bombarded with the media. Whether it's social media, paper media, TV, the movies, we're being bombarded with this. And whether we realize it or not, these things defile us. They influence us. So maybe we are not committing these acts, but just being in such an environment, we get defiled. And so this is why we need to be sanctified by the word and by the spirit. Amen. And even in Titus, it even says in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Right? There are so many things I realize that not even the sinful things, the good things, can also defile our minds. Cause it would influence our thinking. And as was already mentioned, if it's influencing our thinking, it will also influence our spirit. Right? That's why we need to cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Right? So this matter of the washing is very important. Right? When I put on new clothes, I like to wash. I like to take a shower. It doesn't make sense for me if I'm filthy and I go put on the clean clothes. It doesn't feel right. But this was needed. Before then, it says, after they were washed, then it goes on, then you shall take the garments and put the tunic on Aaron and the robe of the ephod and the breastplate and gird him with the intricately woven band of ephod. Right? And it goes on, describing the priestly garments, right? Our brother, a couple days ago, shared regarding the matter of the priestly garments. And today, if we are to serve in the house, the holy house, the holy temple of the Lord, we also need to put on Christ. It's good. Where are the younger ones? The ones who were baptized yesterday. When you were baptized, you put off your old man and you put on Christ. You put on the new man. We need the priestly garments for us to serve in the holy and royal priesthood. This is why it's good. Your brothers were baptized and Gigi was baptized, right? It's very good for the young people to begin to experience this. And it's not just yesterday that you experienced baptism, but every day. When we wake up, we need to leave our old man in the bed and put on Christ. Right? We need the holy garments. Right? And then it goes on. And then here it says, and you shall also have the bowl brought before the tabernacle of meeting. And Aaron and his sons shall put their hands on the head of the bowl. And you shall kill the bull before the Lord by the tent of meeting. And it goes on to describe what they do with this offering, because this, in verse 14, it goes on, it says, it is a sin offering. So after being washed and putting on Christ, we also need to take Christ as our sin offering. Why? Because this sin offering deals with the very nature, the root of sin within our hearts. I still remember in those days when I prayed and I give myself to the Lord, and then a few days or weeks later, I commit a trespass. And I repent and I turn and I ask the Lord to cleanse me. But a few days later, it would happen again. And it would keep happening. And I said, Lord, why is this happening? What I didn't realize is at that point is not only do I need the Lord as my trespass offering to take care of what I had committed, but more than ever, I needed the sin offering to deal with the root of sin within our hearts. And I appreciate for the consecration, we need this bull. Right? We need Christ as our sin offering to deal so that we can overcome the influence and the dominion of sin. Right? In Romans chapter 6, in verse 14, there's a phrase that says, sin has no dominion over you. Right? If we find ourselves repeating the same mistake, we say, Lord, I want no effect. I do not want sin to have dominion over me. Christ is the one. Lord, you're the one who can do this. But you know, the sin offering I enjoyed very much in seeing, it's not just that we would be freed from the dominion of sin, But it also goes on in verse 18. It says, freed, set up free from sin, that you would become slaves of righteousness. Why slaves of righteousness? Because in verse 19 it says, now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. Right? So this is important. We need to experience, and we should take Christ as our sin offering. This will free us from the influence of sin and death within our being. And this would make us become slaves of righteousness for holiness. Right? We have to remember there is a root. Satan is working hard. And the flesh can be very strong. So it's very good to see we need Christ as the sin offering in our consecration. Then after that, it goes on. If we are no longer under the influence of sin, and we want to have the fruit be slaves of righteousness for holiness, then we need Christ also as our burnt offering. Christ is the one who has obeyed the Father and is one with the Father. And if we are to serve in the house of the living God, we need to be one, and we should be one with our Father. In our natural man, we are not. But in Christ, who is our burnt offering, we can be one with the Father. This is why I appreciate Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. It says, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. So he's the author of our eternal salvation. He is our pattern. He is the one who can lead us in this way of consecration. But then it goes on. You have the consecration offering. And with the consecration offering, there is the blood that is applied to the right ear, the right thumb, and the right big toe of our right foot. Why do we need to hear for our ears? Our ears need to be sanctified. What do we let come into our ears? Today, you don't even have to try. Things just come to our ears. You hear all kinds of things on the news. You hear all kinds of things being spoken. Right? Are our ears sanctified? What do we do with our hearing? Are we the garbage can for gossip? Do we allow that to come into our ears? Right? We cannot. And our right thumb, meaning our hands. What are we doing with our hands? Are our hands holy, set apart, sanctified? Amen. And then the right big toe, it's our feet. Where are we walking? Where are we going? It's our entire being. It's a wonderful picture to see that our entire being needs to be sanctified. What we take in through our ears, how we do things with our hands, and where we walk with our feet needs to be set apart for the Lord. And then you have the basket of the unleavened bread. We all know this is the fine, perfect humanity of Christ. Because we ourselves, our humanity is very rough. We're not so fine. And if we are to serve the saints in our flesh, that will definitely cause problems in the church. To serve one another, to serve in his church, we definitely need the fine humanity of Christ. Everything we do must be done with holy hands. So we need the basket of unleavened bread, right? And even in Leviticus, it was mentioned the wave offering. We need the power of his resurrection, but at the same time, we need his love. Right? So you can see so many offerings. What I very much appreciated in consecration is, for me now, it means so much more. It's not just about, Lord, I give myself to you. But it's a daily process. Day by day, we all need to do this. That's why it says consecrated for 7 days. It means every day we should be already living in this process of sanctification. Right? So this is a marvelous picture. A marvelous picture in what we should do to become holy daily, on a daily basis. Right? And we pray that as we get into more and more regarding holiness, this will become part of our daily life. Right? Right now, we still have to consider. I'm conscious, okay? Conscious for the sin offering, conscious of the burn offering, the meal offering, the consecrate, the blood on the ear. Many times now, when I'm going through my day, I realize there's so many areas. This is another opportunity to be consecrated to the Lord. It's really amazing when you have this view in mind. This is why yesterday in my offerings, I realized the Lord says, purpose in your heart to be holy. And if you purpose in your heart, then all of a sudden, all these offerings appear before your eyes. And as we go through our daily life, as we are together in the church life, spending time with the saints, the Lord can really touch and sanctify us with all of these wonderful offerings in this process of consecration. So praise the Lord. May we really enter into this reality. The consecration for the priesthood. The holy and royal priesthood.
36, it is the consecration of the old. Now let me ask you one question. After reading all the 35 verses, can you repeat it? After reading all the 35 verses, Brother Gottman, can you repeat it?
That means it is not so simple. It is not so simple. You have to read it many times to really get it and to have a very deep impression that consecration is not just, Lord, I give myself to you completely. Right. You remember that song, right? Right? And we love to sing that song, but it's very easy. Just one verse, especially that one sentence. But what does it mean to give yourself to God completely? No wonder John talked about what he had learned and heard many years ago, especially after the conference, the young people's conference, especially. At the end, it is always to stir up the young people to give themselves to God completely. To consecrate. No wonder, as a young man, he was tired of that verse. I could understand that, because I also did that. To consecrate yourself, meaning to say, just to give yourself, right? To give your unholy self. To give yourself that is still very much influenced by the world and by sinful things. No change, just as you are. I'm not saying that it is not good, but it's not adequate. Definitely not adequate. That is why the experience afterwards is a flop. A flat tire. It's a consecration like a tire without air. You can't run with it very far. And if you have a car with four flat tires. How far can you drive the car? Not very far. And so after the young people's conference, everybody gave themselves. After a week, after a month, maybe half a year, it all went flat. Huh? Oh, it's never a year. It's never a year. Because there was no substance in that consecration. And even if we still want to give ourselves to the Lord, we do a lot of things that are not well-pleasing to Him. And we like to serve according to our own desire, according to my own ways, and according to what I like to do. But if you tell me to go clean the toilet, I say, no, that's not my ministry. Oh, what is your ministry? Oh, my ministry is to do this and that and that, but not to clean the toilet. So, we are not willing to do what the Lord wanted us to do or what is necessary to do. Right. So our consecration consecrately turned flat. And it was a flop. So we have seen from year to year so many people just quit and stop and couldn't go on. Right. But we are not just consecrating ourselves by giving ourselves to the Lord. And I'm not saying you should not give yourself to the Lord. Remember that. We should. But then we also have to see how to do it. If I say, I want to consecrate myself to be a doctor, and I just begin to practice medicine, the mercy can come to me, I have a knee problem. I'll cut off his foot. I cut off his legs, and she won't have any more knee problem. Oh, goodness. Nobody would come to me. I don't think Anne would come to me if you have any problem. At the end, you won't have any members left in your body. Malpractice. So our service at the end caused a lot of confusion, trouble, a lot of difficulties, and a lot of damages, and most of all, a shame to the Lord. Right? Looking back in my own life, how many things I did in serving the Lord that was not right. So we have to repent. We all have to repent. And not only to repent, but now to learn to do it correctly. To learn to do it right. Right. We cannot just go on the way we did. Right. The past is the past. And there are a lot of good things in the past too. I'm not saying altogether there was nothing good. Retain what is good, forget what is bad, and go on and learn the right and proper way that we will all reach the goal. This is what we all need to do. Right. And now, because we are practicing the priesthood, not just knowing the priesthood, many years ago in Leviticus, we all talked about a priesthood. We had quite a few conferences concerning Leviticus, and we were all impressed. But then we were not practicing it. We were not practicing priests. But now we are practicing the priesthood, and praise the Lord. Right. And the Lord was very gracious to us, showing us how to bring the offerings. Because without the offerings, if we don't have any offerings, we cannot practice consecration because this process of consecration has all to do with the offerings. You need to bring a bull as a sin offering. You need to bring two rams, one as a burnt offering, one as a consecration offerings. But then in the consecration offerings, you have the meal offerings, right? And you also have the anointing oils there. And you also need to bring the wine as a drink offering, right? You have all of these offerings. That's the basis of our consecration. And I can see the wisdom of the Lord that he did not firstly tell us, go through the process of offerings. What is bull? Why should I bring a bull? What is a sin offering? What is a burnt offering? What are the cakes for, the wafers, the unleavened bread? And my head will be spinning. But now that we are more and more familiar with all these offerings, and we have been learning to bring the offerings to the Lord, and the increase of the riches of these offerings, now we can come to this wonderful chapter and read them many times. Read them until you not just understand, but you see the whole process before your eyes and tell the Lord, Lord, this is the way I want to consecrate myself as a priest to you. Not just as a Christian. I give myself to do something for you or to serve you. Okay, I do not want to despise that or to lower that. Preaching the gospel is very good. Doing a service for God is fine. You know, there are many things that we can do for God, but a priestly service is a very special service that is very precious to God. Right, and so, read it again. Read it 7 days. How about that? Like what it says here. 7 days. First day, read it. Oh, you cannot remember this point, that point. Oh, what now? Right? The second day, you read it again. Okay. You have a deeper impression. Third day, fourth day, wow, you can already memorize it. The fifth day, 6 days, great. Right. And then your experience of this process of consecration will increase. Amen. This is really wonderful. And then you realize that, wow, the consecration ram is very similar to a peace offering. Yes. You know why? Because you cannot serve God without peace. This is why people serve, and during their service, they quarrel. The more you serve, the more you quarrel. If you remain seated, do nothing, you don't quarrel. But if you start to serve, you begin to fight. Oh, no, that's not the right way. No, I like to do it this way. And you do that. No, I don't want to do it. You do it. At the end, there is no peace. Why did you do that? I told you not to do that. Why did you do it? Do it. My goodness, the more we serve, the more we fight, and there is no peace. The priest must serve in peace. Calm down. Serve with peace. Now you understand why when God wants to sanctify you, hey, you are unholy. You're unholy. Stop. I told you already many times to stop. Why are you so unholy? You cannot sanctify people like that. That's why Paul knew that. And he wrote, and may the God of discipline, may the God of peace sanctify you completely. May the God of peace sanctify you completely. I pray that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is why you have that ram of consecration with the cakes, the unleavened cakes, right? So wonderful. With a wave breast and with a heave shoulder. It's the same as the peace offering, right? For us to consecrate ourselves 7 times. Why 7 times? Completely. It means we must do it through the complete process, not just 1 time, not just 2, 3, 4 times. No, completely, 7 times. 7 is a complete number of process. God created 7 days, 6 plus 1. So in the last day, there was peace and there was rest. It's very good. After the completion, everything is fine. Then we can start serving in peace. Now we can have 15 minutes of peace and rest. Praise the Lord. Amen.
So let's be back at 11:30.